T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Bryant drives one in the air, deep left center. This ball's got a chance. Chris Bryant with a hat trick, his third homer of the night. All three have landed in the Cubs' bullpen in left center. This was a screaming line drive.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are thrilled to welcome in Joe Girardi. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Joe working with Radio.com Sports, their MLB expert. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Joe.
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great, and it was fun to hear you on the broadcast on Saturday. It's always good to get different perspectives on where the local teams are, and certainly you know what you're looking at. Where do you see the Cubs? How good are they? How do they fit into the entire landscape of Major League Baseball?
I think they fit pretty good. I think their starting pitching is outstanding. I think their defense is very good. I think they run the bases extremely well, even though they don't necessarily steal a lot of bases. I think offensively, they're very, very good as well. Concern about Chicago Cubs, if I had any, it would be in their bullpen, because mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of huge strikeout guys down there. And a lot of times you come in with men on base and you want guys that regularly strike people out. I know they're missing Strope and Morrow, and I'm sure those two guys would help. But I think Joe's done a good job mixing and matching and getting outs. He gets 7 outs from Chizik last night, who does an outstanding job. But they're really good.
Do you think that they will eventually go out and get somebody at the back end of the bullpen, Joe? Do you look at the market out there and you see – you know, the teams that are struggling tend to get rid of their closers nearer the deadline. Will the Cubs be aggressive? Should they be aggressive? Can they win without getting a closer?
I think they will. I think they'll treat it similar to 2016 when they went and got Chapman and took him from the Yankees. And then, they gave up a lot, but I really think Chapman was a huge part of helping them win the World Series. A guy that I might target might be Shane Green. You know, with Detroit, had an outstanding year, has an outstanding slider, a swing and miss slider. And, you know, is also a guy that can give you multiple innings, because he used to be a starter, but I like him. And I think the Cubs are, like I said, I think they're really, really good. I think they're playing well. They're winning series. Of the last 11 series, they've lost one, and won most of those. I think they tied one, but they're just on a roll.
You know, you mentioned Steve Cishek coming in, and he closed out the game. He had to pitch 2 1/3. How long? I know he's not necessarily their closer. That was his fourth save. But what is the ideal length of you know, I know he can go longer and has had different roles, but using Cishek like that when you don't have a closer, with you know, Morrow down who knows when, and Stropey still not there, is that a dangerous thing to do, and is it more a byproduct of feeling like different guys can do their role?
No, I think it's a byproduct of mixing and matching and knowing who you're facing, I think, for the Cubs. And I think because he kept his pitch count so low, Joe was able to continue to use him. And I would think that he would have today off, but I would think that with his pitch count being so low last night, he'd only need one day. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to look at matchups, because they don't have a clear-cut strikeout closer. They're going to look at matchups. They're going to use lefties sometimes to get a lefty out and then go to their righties. You know, they might use two guys in one inning to close out a game. But, again, I think their bullpen has pitched really well, especially since those first 9 games. And they've cut down on their walks, and they're making people put the ball in play. And with the defense that they have, that's what you should do.
So you're watching Saturday night, Joe, and Joe Madden comes out to protest Sean Doolittle's delivery, and it does look like something that you wonder, is he doing that something illegal? Is it improper? Should he not be toe-tapping on the way to his delivery? What was going through your head from your analyst chair, and then from the manager's perspective, could you relate to what Joe was trying to do in defense of his player standing up for Carl Edwards Jr.?
I understood it completely, because he was protecting his guy and making a point that, okay, where's the line? Where do you draw the line? Because I know my guy's step was much more pronounced, but again, Doolittle's foot was hitting the ground. There was a pause. Edwards' pause was much longer and much different, but I liked what he did, and I think he had a right, and I probably would have got a little bit more upset than Joe, just because, you know, in a sense, it might have cost Carl Edwards a month in the minor leagues, just because right. he had to go change and fix everything. So I loved what he did, and I understand why he dropped his protest, because I don't think he was going to win, but that has to be a clear-cut rule. It can't be a shade like, well, he only taps for a quarter of a second, so it's okay. No, it has to be clear-cut. I don't have a problem with what Doolittle was doing, and I have a problem with what Carl Edwards was doing, because I watch pitchers create deception by quick pitching all the time. Is there, you know, at least Carl's was the same every time, and as a hitter, you could figure it out.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I think that it did feel premeditated. It did feel like they knew going in that he did that, and they were going to make a point if indeed he got in the game. And the fact that Joe did it the way he did it, it was really more about C.J. Edwards than Sean Doolittle.
I agree. Joe knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that Doolittle had been doing this for a while and was quite aware. And that's probably why he was able to remain as calm as he did, because he knew it was coming. So I think he handled it well. I think the Cubs handled it well. And I'm curious to see what Major League Baseball is going to say as we move forward here.
Joe, we've talked to you before about Wilson Contreras and just the leap that he has made this year. And he's off to a great start. He's got, I think, more home runs already than he had last year. And you see him playing, you know, pretty good defense behind the plate. And that arm is you know, a weapon. What's
special.
The key? It is special. What's the key in keeping him durable for the you know, all season rather than just the first half? Because last year he faltered in the second half.
Yeah, and it was probably from fatigue. I think making sure he gets his days off. And it's, you know, as tempting as it is to play a lot of the players on that roster, and they only have 12 position players because they're also versatile, and they choose to carry 13 pitchers, 8 in their bullpen, probably for the mixing and matching reasons, because they don't have, you know, they don't have a 17 guy, an 18 guy, and a 19. They don't do that. But it's given him days off, and I think, like Joe last week gave him 2 days off, which I think was important. One was a scheduled day off, and then I think he gave him Thursday off as well. It would have been Wednesday with Darvish.
Right.
I think making sure that he has a day off, he doesn't catch too many day games after night games, and just physically, you know, 125, 130, you know, 125 starts. Yes, he's going to get into some games, 130 starts, but just making sure that come October, because I really believe the Cubs are going to be there in October, that he's still a force.
Joe, when you wore the tools of ignorance, how important was framing in your day? And that's always the argument you hear whenever anyone talks about Wilson Contreras. They say, well, he doesn't frame well, and that's not helping his pitching staff, and that's a problem in terms of other catchers around the league. And I just never know how to take that kind of analytics breakdown of him.
You know, here's the thing about the framing. You see it change from year to year. The guys that are on top a lot of times will change. And, you know, I think at times it can be a little bit subjective. It can have to do with your staff. If you got a bunch of hard throwers, a lot of times you're not going to be a great framer. They have big breaking balls and that sort of thing. But he does so many other things well that I'm going to take him, and he's going to be one of the top catchers in all of baseball, because he's got great range when it comes to blocking. You don't run on him. You don't stray too far off the base. He's extremely productive with the bat. So every player, there's no player that's perfect. So maybe he's not as good as this next guy, but he's so much better than so many other guys in some of the other areas that you know, I think you can consider him in the top three catchers in all of baseball.
Can you learn that, though? Can he
oh,
be
yeah.
taught? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's practice and learning how to be, you know, quiet back there. And the thing that I think he has to his advantage a little bit is he's very athletic and he's, what we would call, he's a smaller in stature catcher. So umpires can see around him and over him. So I think that, yeah, he could get better. But, you know, he's playing every day, you know. And I would like to see maybe at times with nobody on, he goes to one knee just to save his energy. And I don't have a problem with that. It used to be you wouldn't want catchers to do that because you thought they appeared to be lazy. But as long as there's less than two strikes and nobody on, I think he should do it because he needs his legs to hit.
Joe, what's the smart way to look at the leadoff role in today's game, and what do you think about Kyle Schwarber leading off for the Cubs?
Somebody that gets on base all the time and doesn't necessarily clog the bases. And Kyle doesn't clog the bases. You know, you look at his on-base percentage in the month of May, it's been great. You look at what he did last night, a couple sack flies, a hit, a walk. He's walked, I think, 14 times in his 12 or 13 games in the month of May. And when you got Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Contreras behind you, just get on base. I mean, they don't necessarily have a stolen base guy that gets on base all the time, but who does? You know, and I think if I could say one of the things that the Cubs have missed since 2016, it has been a consistent leadoff guy. They had a consistent leadoff guy in Dexter Fowler, and he's had his struggles in St. Louis, and Zobrist did a pretty good job. But, you know, when Dexter Fowler was in, the Cubs won. When he wasn't in, they were a 500 team. And I think if Schwarber can do it and get on base in front of these big power hitters behind him, and he's got a ton of power too, it just makes him that much better.
Joe, we'll let you go. I want to ask you quickly about Addison Russell coming back from his suspension, and Javi Baez has started every game. Maybe he doesn't start tonight because he injured his heel a little bit or left the game in the sixth inning, I believe, with a heel issue.
Mm-hmm.
Are you spoiled for choice when you have two guys that can play a position? It's obviously a good problem to have, but they can't really move Javi for Addison Russell, even if the metrics say he's a better defensive shortstop, right?
Yeah, you're going to stay with the consistency, I think. And there's so many shifts now today. In a sense, Addison's going to be on the third base side a lot anyway, and then Javi's going to be on the second base side a lot. So to me, it's to have two shortstops with that type of range and the ability to play defense in the middle of your infield, I think you can flip-flop them, and whatever works best for the mentality of the team, that's what I would do, because there's not a fall-off either way.
Great stuff, Joe. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It.
That's Joe Girardi, Radio.com Sports MLB expert.
Interesting to get his take. It's going to be overlooked. Very positive. I mean, the Cubs are in first place. They're doing a lot of things right, so you're going to get a lot of those takes. But especially him talking about Wilson Contreras, I always find one catcher talking about another. Interesting stuff.
It's interesting what he had to say about the framing.
It was. You can learn it.
We'll have to bring that up at the end of the
Okay, later. You bring it up.
Mully and Hall on the score.
Watch him run. Not too many catchers can run like this. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he's a catcher, not a center fielder, not a shortstop. He is in the 1% as best athletes in our game.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Rod A. talking about – oh, stop it. That's
oh,
A-Rod
on, yeah.
talking about Will Wieson.
What happens if Russell Addison makes that play?
You know, him saying that Wilson Contreras is one of the top 1% of athletes in Major League Baseball.
I didn't know he was making that kind of money.
Yeah, he's a 1%er. Who's he calling a 1%er?
That's yeah, a, that's who's a, he to that, call that, someone
that's
a 1%er?
Quite a statement. I mean, when you think about the caliber of athlete,
Joe Girardi said he's top three catcher in the game.
I could see that being
that's true.
Easier to believe 1%
athlete.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I don't know.
He's a very good athlete, and you can see that he runs well, and He's put together well, but that, well, okay. I think it's exaggerating a little bit, but he's a superior athlete. He's good enough to play the position.
You know what I think is really funny is how we define athlete. And I remember writing a thing one time about Shane Matthews. Remember Shane Matthews, a former Florida quarterback, was playing for the Bears.
Not the first word that comes to mind when I think Shane Matthews.
Well, let me finish the story. And I wrote basically that, you know, although he's a bad athlete, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. So he got really bent out of shape about it. And his argument, and he basically challenged me to Bar Olympics, which is my sport. I didn't play with him, but I would have wiped him up. No, Bar Olympics kind of stuff. His point was, how could he be a bad athlete? He can hit a three-pointer. He has unbelievable touch. He can play, you know, he can play any sport, and mm-hmm. he can, you know, throw a dart, shoot pool. He could do anything you could think of. How is that a bad athlete? And I'm like, well, it means running and jumping and, you know, when we're talking about athleticism. And he said, well, then you should have clarified that, because there are a lot of guys that are really good athletes that aren't necessarily the fastest or the guys that can leap the highest.
It's a broad term open for interpretation, because you don't know what it does imply. Look, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was in town over the weekend for the Blue Jays. Now, you look at him and you don't see immediately, you think, oh God, what a great athlete. And then you watch him play and you hear people talk about him, and he is a very good athlete. He's a bigger man, and he's going to have to watch that. You talk to people as he gets older. I heard.
I try to be the bigger man all the time. It's not easy.
But are you talking about the way people run and jump? And
well, that's what. I guess that's what I'm applying.
Are they physical specimens?
I mean, but look at this guy. I mean, he can throw the hell out of the ball, right? He's unbelievable. He can pick guys off. You can't run on him because of
Wilson
how
Contreras could walk into the ring for a UFC fight and you not be struck. He looked like he belongs, right?
Well, he's a big dude.
Yeah, but a lot of baseball players you can't say that about. So maybe A-Rod's implying that, okay, this guy is cut, he is fit, he can run, he can do a lot of things that you could translate and say, that is a tremendous superior athlete.
Do you think, as he's 6'1" listed, do you think he's 6'1" when you stand and look at him?
Wilson Contreras?
Yes.
No.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But he's compact, he's
right
built, and I, you know.
No, he's rock solid, yeah. He's thick.
I'd play him at strong safety. You know, that's why he could take
but
a hit. He could take on a blocker.
I wouldn't play him at linebacker.
I don't know. I mean, he's a tough guy.
I don't know. I don't think he's 6'1".
He'd rush off the edge.
No, he couldn't rush off the edge.
Well, from that side,
he's
no.
only, 212, 220? If you're going to rush off the edge, pal.
But if, you know.
How much does Leonard Floyd weigh?
Hey!
Oh, ouch.
Wow.
222?
Save it for July.
Oh, now you got it.
Okay. When you talk about athletic ability, though,
no shot. For July.
Dustin is doubting Leonard Floyd listed at 251. What do you guys think?
All right. I don't think so. No, maybe not.
He's not 6'1".
Are golfers good athletes?
Well, that's a good example. Shane was a great golfer, apparently, scratch golfer.
Boy, did we see John Daly? Did you see that?
No, I kind of lost interest after we talked about it.
He had, at one point, he's literally like 3 inches from the green in the cart with a cig in one hand and a you would assume a Diet Coke in the McDonald's.
It was.
In the McDonald's plastic cup.
Yes, it was Diet Coke.
I mean, yeah, he had a McDonald's plastic cup.
Yeah, rum and Coke. Rum and Coke and a cigarette.
Cooper Libre.
Not at Arnold Palmer. Taking
a cart during a major event. Come on. I just was...
The PGA's fault.
I think it's because it was John Daly that I think I wanted to look away so fast.
Well, I mean,
John Daly, an athlete?
Yes.
Good athlete?
No.
Athletic?
Maybe.
See, I think
That's what I'm saying.
Look, you look at Brooks Koepka. Okay, that guy's an athlete.
Well,
he's a robo golfer, but he's put together pretty well.
Could play linebacker.
And, yeah, exactly. But you look at some golfers and you say, well, you know, I don't know about that, but they have the touch that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it depends on how you define athletic.
But I mean, what they're talking about is a guy can run. He's got kind of choppy steps. I'm talking about Wilson Contreras, but he can run.
He can run.
He's quick.
Yeah, he's quick.
He's definitely quick. He's got great eye-hand coordination.
Yes, that too.
You know, he can use the bat. I mean, he's got quick hands, and he's good with the bat.
And strength. That's the other thing.
He's got a ton of strength.
That's what separates some athletes from others.
What percent athlete? Because when I think of athletes, I think of guys that are kind of super fast.
Who's the best athlete on the White Sox?
Tim Anderson.
Yes.
Him or Moncada. I mean,
Moncada,
that's
maybe.
Top two.
I mean, Tim Anderson was like an elite-level basketball
Tim Anderson.
Player.
Yeah, he was a good basketball
Tim,
player.
I think Tim Anderson. You can see it. And I think that the what Tim Anderson has done this year is he's become more of a baseball player. You don't say, like, well, he's a great athlete. You say he's a great baseball player.
Right.
When before his previous couple of years, he's like, oh, he's
great
Tim Anderson
on the base
a great athlete?
I mean, you know, he gets on base and it's
– Yeah, he's been thrown out the last two times I saw him.
I know, but I'm saying, generally speaking, he can wreak havoc.
Yeah, he's a good base dealer, but I have seen
Is Javi Baez the best athlete on the Cubs?
No, Wilson Contreras
not
is.
Not according to A-Rod.
That's what I'm saying.
Wilson Contreras is.
Okay.
You think Javi Baez is?
I think Javi Baez does unbelievably athletic things.
I think Chris Bryant's second.
Oh, Rodriguez Alex has put every Cub in the Hall of Fame over the last three Sunday nights.
Rodriguez
Alex.
Bryant's
Chris Bryant
second?
Is a fantastic athlete. Why,
Chris Bryant
can
dunk. Run?
He can't dunk, okay. though.
I mean, I'm just saying. He didn't look terribly athletic in that. He's 6 foot five.
He's the best baseball player. I would argue that
he's a great baseball player, but that's not necessarily what the question was.
Right.
You would. I mean, like, don't you think someone's basketball game reveals a lot about their
athleticism? I guess so. Yeah, you can always tell it reveals a lot about their personality, too. You want to know how you get along with somebody? Go play pickup basketball with them.
Boy.
Find out how they respond to the first time that there's a foul that nobody calls. See if they throw the ball at your face.
That happened to you?
No,
that sounds like a very specific story.
I think he's heard too many stories.
It's just very telling.
Yeah.
When you play pickup basketball with somebody, it reveals a lot about their personality.
It's rough.
It's time for the great clip of the week. Let's listen to a great clip from last week on Cubs Radio.
Bryant drives one in the air, deep left center. This ball's got a chance. Chris Bryant with a hat trick. His third homer of the night. All three have landed in the Cubs bullpen in left center. This was a screaming line drive.
That is the great clip of the week. It's sponsored by Great Clips. Great haircuts. It's gonna be great. And it's Mully and Haw on the score. And speaking of going to be great, the White Sox play at Houston tonight, and the game is off the board. There was no line because, of course, the Sox have no pitcher.
I think that's bizarre.
Or the pitcher is unnamed.
It's very bizarre. They have not named a pitcher. It's not going to be Ross Detweiler, the free agent they signed. He pitched yesterday.
Rottweiler pitched yesterday.
Rottweiler pitched yesterday.
So it's not Rottweiler, and it's probably not going to be Despondent, or could Despondent play?
I don't think he can either. No.
Yeah. They signed.
Molly, you and I will be Despondent later on.
Despondent.
What's the difference? We don't know him yet.
Ultrasommer Despondent.
I beg your pardon?
Ultrasommer Despondent.
Ultrasound what?
I'm sure nobody ever heard of
him. Okay. Well, that's why it's not on the board.
He's just not a known entity yet.
Well, will you cease and desist from calling him that?
Yes, I will, and I apologize. I really thought it was Rottweiler Despondent.
So is that who's pitching tonight?
That's what I wrote down.
Is cease and desist? Or is that cease?
No. Cease.
Okay.
He's...
He can't either?
Listen.
He's not ready yet?
No. He just pitched.
Well, who's
they're
pitching?
They're bringing him up.
What's on first?
I don't know. Exactly.
Ridiculous. I mean, how do
is
you go in...
Is ridiculous a name of a pitcher?
Not yet, but...
We will be nicknaming someone.
Look.
Listen, it's not good.
You're going in against the best team in baseball.
That's the problem.
And you're the White Sox after just splitting a series against the Blue Jays. You're flirting with respectability. You really are. You aren't that far away. You have been quietly competitive. And who knows where the season might be headed and where you might be if you had a legitimate bona fide major league starting rotation. But you don't. And you've left yourself exposed. And going into Houston, not knowing who's starting the opener, just underscores how exposed you look. Unless that's exaggerating the point. I don't know. I just feel like if you're a White Sox fan, don't you feel like you'd like to know who's throwing tonight?
I am willing, if anyone wants to, I'm willing to take some wagers on the White Sox. I really think, as the contrarian in me, I think all of you believe they have no chance to win. So I will happily take the White Sox +7 and just see how it goes. Would you give me 7?
Boy.
Would you? No? What do you mean? What was that
you
look,
want
Justin?
You 7 runs?
They don't have a pitcher.
Seven runs. Come on.
Okay. How many you give me? How many you give me, Dustin?
It's still baseball.
How many you give me?
I'll give you none because it's always they'll say, "Well, we didn't have a book on him, so we got beat because we didn't have a book on that pitcher."
No, the Astros don't make excuses like the Cubs do. All right. Astros are first in batting average. They're first in run.
Okay.
Second in runs.
How many
scored.
Runs you give me, Kevin?
I'll give you 5 runs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 runs.
That's right.
And what about you, Mr. David? How many runs do I get?
I'm 3.
I'm not wagering with none.
3.
I'm going to pass on 3, and I'll take the 5. Is that the best I can get? Does someone else want to get involved, Joe?
Because it could be 5-1.
They're only going to take 6 and, to be the winner.
And the Reds and the Astros will throw in somebody to mop up, and then somebody will hit a meaningless homer that make it 5-3, and then
I think they'll call off the dogs.
That's a bad bet. I just don't understand.
What's a bad bet? My bet or your bet?
Yours.
I got
just
5 runs coming.
5-6 runs in baseball game.
No,
that's a bad bet.
I meant the one you had with me, the 3 runs. I'm not taking that.
No, Kepo's bet is bad.
Terrible.
And they'll probably win. They'll probably win by 10 runs tonight, but I'm still just a baseball season. Things happen, and you're like, that makes no sense.
Joe,
I've never heard of this person.
The contrarian in me wants to take the 5, Joe.
How unusual.
Unless you have 6.
The Mets have not named a starter for tonight against Washington.
But they're going to fire their manager.
Yeah, they will.
How unusual is it? I mean, so it happens.
No, yeah, you won't see lines on the board until you get a starting pitcher, even though, I mean, does it matter which
name
they pick?
We're going to come in tomorrow, and we're going to talk about Josh Osich throwing 6 great innings last night, shutting down the Astros.
I'm not looking forward to saying Despaigne 20 times tomorrow morning in updates.
I'm not looking forward to being despondent tomorrow morning during
really
updates.
I really wish it would have been Rottweiler.
That would be great if they just, like, they brought out, like, there's a cage dragged out, and the Astros are looking, like, what the hell's going on? And then they just open it, and this dog runs across the field and attacks a player.
Well, how about the game that really matters? How about the game that really matters tonight? How about this? Over, under 8.5 at Wrigley tonight.
Wow.
Over, under
That's
8.5.
That's a lot of runs, huh?
Turn
I guess I go
gambling
over.
Segment.
What's the weather
I'd
again?
I'd go over.
What's the weather?
I'd go over. Talking about...
The problem is, it's a lot of runs, so they want you to go under.
Going against each
so
other.
You
what makes
over.
You think it's going to be a pitcher's duel? Just because of the hype?
You, Darvish.
No. You know, no.
No C-Sheck. So when they go to the pen,
how's
it look?
Monty is there for the tag team. He's going to take the baton, and boom, the relay pitchers are going to finish 1-2.
You know, Monty will come in, and he'll come in the fourth, and he'll get 2 outs, and then they'll have to bat for him, and then Joe's right. Then
who pitches more innings tonight, Montgomery or Darvish?
Arrieta.
Okay. Yes.
Well, true. That wasn't the question, smart Alec. I said Alec. As in A-Rod.
We have someone texter checking in. Is Carson Fulmer available to start?
No.
In that case, I'm going to need 10.
Keep that's bouncing around mean. From games. 8.5 tonight? I'm no gambler, but that seems like...
It always depends on the wind over there. If it's blowing in,
right.
It won't hit 8.5. I don't care who the pitchers are. Molly, what's worst-case scenario for the White Sox for you?
Oh, I mean...
Tonight?
In terms of a number? Or?
No, just a pitcher you do not want to see.
Probably Carson Fulmer.
Fulmer.
Probably maybe Dylan Covey. One of those guys. No, I'm being mean. Manny Benuelos.
Of all the options they have, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I'd like to see someone I haven't seen before. And for what exactly Dustin said, just bring up some guy that everyone's like, who? What?
They don't have a scouting
report
on. Who's
the knuckleballer that Toronto brought up?
He's trying to prove
trade
something.
For him.
That's who I thought Benuelos was going to be, the guy nobody knew and surprised people. And that's who he was for a couple starts. And
yeah,
then
that doesn't work.
Reality set in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not a long-term plan.
No. How quickly can they get James Shields up and running?
Boy, you know what, Joe? I want to change my answer to James Shields just to stop Kevin.
I'll bet Kevin then.
He's not ready to go, but that would be better than the alternative. Really, come on.
I would take James Shields right now over you, Darvish, if I had to start a game.
Well, I didn't say that.
Whoa.
Come on, Kevin.
Jesus.
Kevin.
What's wrong with you?
I did not go that far.
Okay. Most definitive absurd statement you can make.
He would rather take a guy that hasn't pitched at all this year over a guy who struck out 11 in his last outing.
It was very loose.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on, Kevin. Even for you, that's a stretch.
How about this? How about White Sox sign Dallas Keuchel to a contract? He starts tonight.
Gets a former team, comes in, saves the day.
Great drama. Great story.
And then they lose that draft pick and the whole thing goes to hell.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to sign Dallas Keuchel, and they're going to do it before the draft. They should have done it a month ago.
They're getting guys off the Reds AAA team. What are you talking about? They're doing fine.
I don't know who they have tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Charlie Tilson?
No.
Were you surprised, Joe? And
How about this? The savior, Matt Davidson. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, that would be cool.
Well, if only he were on the team.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Sign him.
You guys missed a little victory dance that Mully did earlier today when you announced that Nicky Delmonico had been sent down. That meant Charlie Tilson was still on the Major League roster.
I didn't do a dance. I love Nicky. I feel bad that he's gone down. I don't.
You love Nicky.
I do not.
You like Nicky.
Unlike,
you love Tilson.
Unlike certain other men in this room, I don't wallow. I don't celebrate other people's misfortune.
Whose
I feel bad for
misfortune have I celebrated?
Oh, my God. What about Rasco Flats? What about Rasco Village Flats?
Rasco Flats. He's a 500 pitcher.
David saw the Rasco Village people this weekend.
Easy.
Flats, sorry.
Billy Currington delivered. He looks like he could pitch. Now, he looks like a good athlete.
It's Billy Currington? Is that the guy from...
Currington!
That's the guy from the Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Corrigan.
Billy Corrigan.
I was making a joke.
Okay.
Big Cub fan.
He is a big Cub fan.
Yeah.
Did not see him there the other night.
Okay.
Just a lot of country
fans. I'd never heard of Billy Corrigan. Sounds like he might be slightly Irish.
Billy Currington?
Okay. It,
I don't know if
that.
He's Irish or not.
Probably not.
No, it's not. It wasn't Corrigan. It wasn't Billy Corrigan. Okay.
Ah, Jesus. I love that guy. Did he play that 1979 song? I love that song. And,
no.
And David, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Okay. Boy, lyrical. Get Jake Peavy out of
retirement. We don't know who's going to play for the White Sox, but they will have a pitcher. And they have a big week laid out in front of them. We know that Yu Darvish is going for the Cubs, and he's going against Jake Arrieta, who is a former Cub. And in a lot of ways, although it isn't factual, people feel like one guy replaced the other.
They do, and I don't know if that's accurate. That'll be the way it's presented tonight, but what will be lost is that this is a big series for the Cubs. Even though they're playing well, they're coming back from Washington having won 2 out of 3. Here's another measuring stick series. You have a first-place team that you might see in October, and the Phillies come in pretty hot. So the Sox have a big week on the road. The Cubs have a big week at home, and it starts tonight against the Phillies, a very good team with Bryce Harper starting to hit a little bit,
yes.
And Jake Arrieta on the mound.
Homers.
Two guys that a lot of people would like to have seen in Cub uniforms playing against them.
It also could be like a big night for Vegas homers. A lot of guys from Vegas hitting homers these days. What do you think?
Well,
who's more likely to hit a homer? Is it Bryce Harper or is it Chris Bryant?
Chris Bryant.
Really?
Yeah. He's at home.
Jake?
He's hot. Off Jake. Big deal.
As opposed to Yu Darvish giving up a dinger to Bryce Harper.
I am thinking the Cubs tonight. I think Jake is going to be really revved up.
He's
going to be like so revved up, he's going to want to take the mound shirtless.
Well, he wants to do that anyway. I don't think that has anything to do with being revved up. Dustin, who are you taking? Dustin is sitting here with disgust.
I never really want to ever pick against the Cubs or cheer against the Cubs.
But
I really liked Jake Arrieta, and I really don't like Yu Darvish. So I'm just gonna stay neutral on this one. Maybe I'd bet the over and just hope for fireworks.
Coward.
All right, there you have it. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.